Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study. Will you turn in your Bible with me today to 1 Timothy chapter 2? I appreciate you watching the Bible study, and I hope it's a real blessing to you. And as many of you know, we've been studying prayer. Now, this morning, if you'll read with me in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 4. A reference to God our Savior, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved. That's all men, without distinction, race, creed, color, moral condition, whatever. All men. He'd have all men to be saved. In other words, whoever you are, God Almighty wants you to be saved. All right? God who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. That is all without exception. The all of verse 4 is all men without distinction, and the all men of verse 6 is all men without exception. Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for all without exception. There isn't anybody in the world, there isn't anybody any place, no matter who they are, what they are, no matter about them, Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for them, and it's to be testified in due time. Whereunto I, the reference is to Paul, I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. And he said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Then the will of God is that you pray. The will of God is that you pray everywhere. You don't have to go to a special place of prayer. You don't have to go to some altar to pray. You can pray wherever you are. Pray in your car. Pray in your home. Pray in your bedroom, kitchen, wherever. Pray everywhere and pray about everything and on and on. There's a man that I know in this city here that's he's recognized by a lot of people as a very spiritual man. He's a great Bible teacher, and he's known to be a man that knows the Bible pretty well. And I know there was a time in the past when this man lived across the street from the church building. And the man was known to have boasted in the fact that he would leave his house, go across the church building, and go down the altar in the church building and pray. Well, folks, let me tell you now, some church building is not necessarily the place to pray. I've heard preachers and teachers in my past. As a young person, a little boy up in Alabama, my mother and my daddy were members of a Baptist church up there, and I attended that Baptist church. And I heard the preacher call on deacon so-and-so to pray. And that deacon would stand up and ignorantly, and he was sincere but ignorant in what he was doing, pray and say, Oh, gracious God our Father, we thank thee that thou hast permitted us to come back into this thy house on this another Sabbath day. Well, that wasn't true. God said he dwells not in temples made with hands. He said, what place will you build for me? So you don't need to come into some house of prayer to pray. But the man would pray, they permitted us to come back into this thy house on another Sabbath day. And we weren't meeting on the Sabbath day. It was Sunday, not Saturday. And he would continue in prayer and say, And Lord, bless us as we advance thy kingdom upon this earth. And bless your soul, we're not advancing the kingdom of God upon this earth. That is not our job. God Almighty told Timothy, through Paul, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine. And so our job is to preach the word. Our job is not to build churches. Our job is to not to build an assembly. There's some of the preachers out there today that their big deal is building a church, build an assembly. A man just told me the other day that God had called him to go to some state up Midwest to build a church. God Almighty never called you to build a church. God Almighty called you to preach the word, if he called you at all. Preach the word. How do you preach the word? By rightly dividing it, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're talking about prayer. You don't have to go anywhere to pray. You don't have to go in some sanctimonious place. You don't have to get in your closet and shut the door and on say, but Jesus said that. Well, he told the disciples back there in view of a different kind of time than you got right now. The grace of God that bringeth salvation will appear to all men on the face of the earth today, including those that are at war right now, walking in the grace of God. That is, God Almighty is gracious to the world today, and God will save any man that will come to Him by Jesus Christ today. You don't have to pray to get through to God. You don't have to beg to get through to God. God Almighty will save any that will come to Him by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ went to Calvary and died for your sins. He was buried and God raised Him from the dead. And Jesus Christ is the one mediator between men and God. And He gave Himself a ransom for all. That includes you. That includes those that are at war right now. The grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to all men. So the world is living in a period of grace today, in a time of grace, when God Almighty is not judging men today. God Almighty will bless any man that will come to Him by Jesus Christ. You don't have to go into some sanctimonious place or get in a sanctimonious attitude to pray to God. Now, I've got on the board up here prayer. We're talking about prayer. Warring, begging, or believing. I've read a lot of books on prayer, and I've read about prayer warriors. They're always warring in prayer. And they take the passage out of Ephesians chapter 6, twist it, and misuse it. While there's nothing in Ephesians 6 about you going to war, say that God Almighty said, put on the armor of God. Yeah, He said, put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand. Stand in the power of God, and having done all, stand. He didn't say anything about warring. He said, put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand, and taking the shield of faith whereby you shall quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, taking the sword of the Spirit, and praying always with all prayer and supplication, and on and on. Prayer is not an instrument of war. Why, in our text here we're reading today, he tells Timothy here that first of all prayer is to be made for, and he lists them, verse 2, kings and for all that are in authority, and we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godless honor. He didn't say praying for these people that we may go to war against them. He said that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. I know some of the preachers, and there might be somebody listening to me right now, and you're one of those kind. You're always telling people about how you're charging hell with a water bucket and all that kind of business. You're always out there fighting. You're a good soldier fighting the battle, and you're fighting in prayer and on and on. Well, that's not the way it is in the Bible. People believe anything they want to believe, but we don't war in prayer, and we're not beggars. God Almighty never called you to beg. The Bible said we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The Bible said God may make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work in the Lord. My God shall supply all your need, and on and on. So we're not begging. God Almighty never called a bunch of beggars. God Almighty called sons. We're sons of God. We're in the family of God. We're members of God Almighty's family. We're heirs of God, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, seated with Him in heaven. And on. We're not beggars. You know something? Jesus Christ is not at war today. Jesus Christ already won the battle. Don't you know that? Jesus Christ went into open combat with Satan and all the demoniac powers that the world ever known, and won the battle at Calvary, and He won it for you. And God Almighty never called you into battle. God Almighty called you to walk in peace. God Almighty calls you to walk in His grace. God Almighty called you to walk in His love. Love working no ill to his neighbor. There are people always talking about love, and we're not talking about some mushy-washy, honey-bunny, sweetheart type thing. Oh, sweet Jesus. I hear this all the time. Oh, Jesus is so sweet, and I fell in love with sweet Jesus. No, 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 that's not love. That's some kind of a cliche somebody picked up from someplace, and they didn't get it out of the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Lamb that was sacrificed. Jesus Christ is the man Christ Jesus, who offered Himself up. He gave Himself for our sins at Calvary. Now, let's talk about this. Are we to war in prayer? Are we to beg in prayer? Or are we expected to believe God in prayer? That's the thing. Notice some things. Turn in your Bible to Hebrews. Now look in Hebrews chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, write the scripture references down. In Hebrews chapter 4, notice in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Well, please observe the contrast with where Jesus is right now. You see, we're reading in Hebrews. Hebrews is a tribulation book, and it's written to people in the tribulation, and it's written to people that can lose their salvation, as in Hebrews chapter 6. Read it and see. Hebrews chapter 6 is written to Hebrews. It has to do with Hebrews in the tribulation. Compare, please, where Jesus is right now as to where he will be at the time of Hebrews 4. Take 1 Timothy chapter 6, please. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, notice in verse 15, referring to the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 15, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Jesus Christ is above all heavens right now. He's wherever God the Father is. He's wherever he was before that he came to this earth. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first unto the lower parts of the earth? And he that descended, the same also that ascended up, notice, far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Ephesians 4, verse 10, write it down. Write it down and read it. Write it down and study over it. Write it down and pray about it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10, he that ascended descended, the same also that ascended up. Where to? Far above all heavens. Where is Jesus right now? He's above all heavens. Is he in the heavens? No, he's above all heavens. How do I know? Because God said it. He's above the heavens. But in the book of Hebrews, he has come back down into the heavens. Notice in Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Jesus Christ is not our high priest, he's our Lord. We see Jesus Christ having been crucified, buried, risen from the dead, Lord of heaven and earth. We see him as in Colossians chapter 1. He's the creator of all things. By him all things exist. And they were made by him and for him. And he's above all things. He is all powerful and on and on. Jesus Christ is not our high priest. Jesus Christ is our Savior, and we're members of his body. And that's clear. The passage is not written to the church with the body of Christ. It's written for our admonition and learning, but not written to us as members of the body of Christ. As members of the body of Christ, we know that Jesus Christ is above the heavens. As members of the body of Christ, we know that we're in Christ, and Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, and we're in him, and he's in us. And on and on. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, let's compare some things. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You must understand something. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, notice in verse 6. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 says, therefore we're always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith. We operate by faith. How's that? We believe God. We study to show ourselves approved unto God. We are workmen that need not to be ashamed. Why? We rightly divide the word of truth. We know that all the Bible is written for our admonition and our learning. We don't throw any of the Bible away. But we don't claim promises out of the Bible that aren't ours. And we don't take promises out of the Bible and use them as gimmicks to get people to do what we want them to do. Love working no ill to his neighbor. I know preachers today that'll use any gimmick under the sun to get an individual in the aisle, to get them to come to the altar, to pray at the altar, telling them that you have to get through to God. When the Bible says that Jesus Christ got through to God for us, we have one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus that gave himself for our sins. You don't need to get through to God. Jesus Christ already got through to God for you. But evangelists want to count the people. They want them in the aisle. They want them at the altar so they can count them, so they can send in the report. I know some of the grace preachers today. I hear them get up in the pulpit and they talk about, well, I won 4 yesterday and I won 6 last week and I preached so-and-so and had 14 saved last week and on and on and on. How do you know? I mean, come on, folks. If God Almighty calls you to preach the Word and to be instant in season, out of season, reproving and rebuking all song, suffering, and doctrine, how do you know how many have trusted Jesus Christ anyhow? You count them. People always got to have something to boast in other than the cross of Christ, don't they? We walk by faith. Turn in your Bible, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For which cause we faint not." In other words, these things that come, we don't faint, we don't give up. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, verse 17, for our light affliction, which we think is terrible, but God said it's just light. Our light affliction, which is before a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What's he saying there? He's saying that when we go through the suffering and the tribulation that we go through, when our bodies are sick and we're laying on our back in some hospital and on, and we go in there sometime, we visit somebody's in the hospital, our light affliction, this is a light affliction, but what's it for? It worketh for us an eternal way to glory. In other words, while we suffer these things here on this earth, we are working an eternal way to glory that'll be ours later. In other words, when you're sick, as a result of your service for God, when you're persecuted as a result of your service for God, when you go through all these things and the tears run down your cheeks and you end up on your face on the floor crying out to God and you don't know what to say and everything, all those things that are happening to you are working an eternal weight of glory that will be yours at the judgment seat of Christ. All that stuff that you're getting now, all that pain and agony and heartache and misery that you're tortured with right now is working for you to bring glory at the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen. We don't put the emphasis upon the things which we can see today. What do we emphasize? But at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The pain that you get is temporal. The heartache is temporal. The things you see with your eyes, they're all temporal. They're going to burn or fade away or die. All the bodies that we look upon today, unless the rapture come immediately, or very shortly I'm talking about, then they're going to die. They're going to be put in a casket somewhere, and they're going to be put in the ground, and the worm's going to get those bodies. We don't look upon the things which are seen. We don't emphasize the things which are seen. We emphasize the things which are not seen. As in the case of Jesus Christ, we never saw him. We never touched him. We never heard his voice. He never took us by the hand, led us, and on and on. We believe in him by faith. We believe that Jesus Christ is born of a virgin. We believe that Jesus Christ, the virgin-born Son of God, is the Son of God. We believe that as the Son of God, he's without sin. We believe that Jesus Christ, the virgin-born sinless Son of God, went to Calvary and offered himself up for our sins and that he became sin for us. We believe that Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of Almighty God, having become our sin at Calvary, was judged in our behalf. God Almighty judged him for us and found us guilty. And God Almighty condemned his Son at Calvary, delivered him up for us all. We believe that Jesus Christ was taken off that cross and put in a tomb. And Jesus Christ lay in that tomb for 3 days and 3 nights. And after 3 days and 3 nights, we believe with all our heart that Jesus Christ got up off of that slab where he was lying there. He just got up. He didn't get up and unwrap the grave clothes off him. He got up out of the grave clothes, and they remained lying there. He stood up inside that tomb. We believe that Jesus Christ stood there inside that darkened tomb, the door, the stone still over the front of it, and he began to go up through the rock formation over his head. We believe that he just disappeared through that rock formation and came outside, rose from the dead. We believe that Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, died for us, was buried and rose again and ascended up to heaven. We believe that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God the Father right now, and he's interceding for us right now, just like the Bible said. But that isn't all. We that are saved by grace through faith believe that we died with Christ at Calvary, that we were buried with Christ, that we rose with the Lord Jesus Christ, quickened together with him, and that we've ascended up with him, and that we're in Christ at the right hand of the Father. The Bible said, when Christ, which is our life, shall appear, we shall appear with him in glory. We walk by faith, not by sight. We don't have to have God Almighty answer some prayer for us to believe God. We believe God whether he ever answers a prayer or not. But he does answer, and sometimes they're no. You see, some people won't believe Almighty God unless they pray something, and then something takes place as a result of that prayer. We don't walk that way. We walk by faith. We trust the Lord. We walk by faith, not by sight. We look not at the things which are seen. They don't impress us. Say, well, I saw brother so-and-so lay hands on sister so-and-so, and she was slain in the spirit, and she fell out there, and then she was... We look not on the things which are seen. We look on the things which are not seen. We're far more impressed with some dear saint of God. She's back there in that room somewhere, in some nursing home. There she is, and she's praying. Oh, yes. And Mr. Miracle Worker wouldn't dare go in there and lay his hands on her. And there she is, and she's sitting in that wheelchair, and she's got that little bar across the front so she can't get out of there. And they push her everywhere she goes, and some of them sometimes, they have to be fed with a spoon. They have to give them everything they drink. Their hands are all twisted and gnarled. And there she sits, and she prays. And she prays for you. She prays for me and for other people. And some people have the audacity to put the emphasis upon some con artist who's always laying hands on people's head and saying, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. And they believe all that tommy rot. You've got to be kidding me. That dear saint of God over there in that hospital somewhere, she's suffering that for Jesus Christ. She's praying for somebody. And she's going to get an eternal reward of glory someday. She doesn't look on the things that are seen. She looks on the things which are not seen. She loves Jesus Christ. She loves her Savior. Jesus Christ is not only her Savior. He's her Lord, and he's her God. We look not on the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. We're not warring. We're walking by faith. Look in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, we just believe God. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You can do whatever God Almighty gave you the faith to do. But you can't do beyond that. But you see, the grace that's given unto us, this grace is plentiful. Please notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said he had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed that God would remove it. But look what God said to him. Verse 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. The grace of God is sufficient for you. We don't war getting to the throne of grace. We're not warring with principalities and powers. We believe the principalities and powers are defeated by Christ at Calvary. Say, but the devil is putting the pressure on us. But we don't look at the things which are seen. We look at the things which are not seen. And as he puts the pressure and the persecution and the tribulation on us, he's defeating himself in that. He's given us privilege and opportunity to receive glory as we endure the tribulation. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God's grace is sufficient for you. You don't have to beg God for his grace. You don't have to go to some throne to get the grace of God. You don't have to pray at an altar to get the grace of God. We walk in the grace of God. We that are saved by grace through faith have been crucified, buried, and risen. We're in Christ. Christ is ascended up. Christ is the right hand of the Father, and we're in him at the right hand. We're in the throne room, beloved. By faith in his finished work. And we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh it. Why, he searches our hearts, and Christ makes intercession for us at the right hand of the Father. So what do you got to worry about? You got nothing to worry about. Just walk by faith. Claim the promises of God and live by those promises, and quit looking at the things around you and look at the things which you can't see with your eyes, but believe with all your heart. Thank you for listening today. Until next time, good day.